is Christian Questions.
David Brinkley once said that a successful man is one who can lay a foundation with the bricks others have thrown at him. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose, with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, christianquestions.net.
So on behalf of myself, I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
We are glad you've chosen to spend some time with us today. And Jonathan, what is our topic for this fine Sunday morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how strong is your foundation? And our theme text is found in Matthew 7, verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock.
Reminds me of the hurricane that we just experienced in this area not too long ago.
Exactly, with the, like 60-mile-an-hour winds that wouldn't quit. Like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
Howling sound. Oh, it was something.
And anyway, every Bible-believing Christian believes that they are building their life on the sure foundation of Christ. And Jesus spoke about it. No, actually, he warned about having such a belief without truly having the right foundation. He warned about the regret that would be experienced upon realizing that one's proposed Christianity was in fact only a pretense. The good news is that Jesus, along with his warning, provided all that we need to know about truly building on the right foundation. So, what do we need to know? Stay with us and find out. Jonathan, what we're going to do is take a look at these words that you read in Matthew 7:25 are from a very simple parable that Jesus spoke. And we're going to look at that parable as a basis for our discussion this morning, our conversation about what does it mean to build on the foundation? What foundation is he talking about? How do we build on it? How can we be sure that what we're building is not on something that's not real?
We want the right foundation. We want to use the right materials.
Right, and because without the right materials, the results are disastrous. So let's look at this parable in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27, and then we're going to read it also in Luke 6, 47 to 49, because as usual, each gospel has perhaps a couple of details. One leaves something out, the other adds it. And when you put them together, you get the whole picture.
Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
So you have a very simple story which makes a whole lot of sense, actually.
Yes.
Build your house on the right kind of foundation, and when the difficulties come, the house can stand. But if you build your house on sand, sand is ever shifting, it's not solid. The trouble comes and it gets swept away.
Yes.
So now let's look at this same parable. It's short enough where we can read two in a row and not lose you. So Luke's chapter 6, verses 47 to 49, same parable but with some slightly different details.
Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house and could not shake it, because it had been well built. But the one who has heard and has not acted accordingly is like a man who built a house on the ground without any foundation, and the torrent burst against it, and immediately it collapsed, and the ruin of that house was great.
So, you have this simple story from two different accounts of building your house upon this solid foundation of rock or upon the sand. Now, first point, Jonathan, by way of observation as you're reading and thinking about this, when you look at both houses, mm-hmm. they can both look exactly the same.
Sure.
So from the outside looking in, you look at them and say, oh, there's two houses. How nice.
Mm-hmm.
However, one of them is destined to fall and the other is destined to stand.
But you can't tell from the outside.
You can't tell just by looking.
Yeah.
So how do you figure out which house are you living in? Which house are you living in? And do you have flood insurance if you have a house built on the sand, really? Let's go through some of the observations maybe on this parable, and then we'll get started here.
Well, the first one's interesting. Everyone who hears these words of mine referring back to what he had just taught.
So Jesus actually had been talking now for almost three chapters.
So we have to look back at the context. Well, what's he talking about?
Context. Isn't that my favorite word?
It is. Another observation, hearing Jesus' words is only the beginning. Acting on them is the important thing.
So it's good to hear.
Yes.
But that's not where things, that's not where you rest. You rest in the activity based on whatever it is that you heard.
You got it.
Okay, what else?
To get to the firm foundation of rock, you have to dig through the soil first.
And that's one of the interesting points about the Luke account that's not mentioned in Matthew.
Right.
Matthew just says, you know, this guy builds his house on the sand and this other guy builds it on the rock. And in Luke it says he digs deep to find the rock.
It takes work, effort, sweat.
And so you've got to get some things, other things out of the way.
Yes.
In order to get to the firm foundation. And I think that's part of the big deal of understanding building on this foundation that Jesus is talking about.
And Rick, it's also the combination of a firm foundation and a well-built house that repels the storm.
Because again, in Luke, it talks about building the house, having it be well-built.
Mm-hmm.
In Matthew, it just simply talks about building the house. So it's not only finding the right foundation, but it's using the right building materials in the building of the house. And I know I used to be a remodeler and all of that, and when you take a wall down and you replace the wall inside someone's house, one of the things that nobody knows from the outside looking in is what's on the inside of the wall.
Mm.
And there's different grades of construction lumber.
When was the house built? Is it 24 on center or is it 16 like it's supposed to be?
Right. And is the grade of the lumber on the inside of that wall strong enough? Because
sure.
you can cut corners real, real easy.
That's right.
So there's a lot to this. We can certainly read a lot into this particular parable. It's a simple story, though, and that's what I like about it. What's your house built on? How well is your house built?
And how strong is your foundation?
And really, that's the bottom line. That's what we want to get to. Let's begin this. And folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net.
We're talking about building upon the foundation of Christ. Jonathan, let's go to a soundbite. Our first soundbite is going to be from Paul Washer. He is a Christian minister. He's very passionate about what he believes, and there are some things that I really like about what he says, and there's some things that I really, really disagree with. Okay,
but all right, let's check it out.
This is going to be on one of those things that I do agree with in terms of his looking and observing. This is from reformedvoices.blogspot.com. And he's talking about Christianity, the state of Christianity, and doesn't sound like he's going to be really happy with it.
Christianity in America today is a circus, and I don't know where it's running, but I see a lot of clowns leading it. And I want to tell you something about it. You know why it's a circus? Because the gospel doesn't have priority. It is a little thing. We have come to a point in Christianity in which we have toned down the attributes of God. We don't even know what they are. And we have so exalted man.
Wow. He got to the point, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. And that's one thing that I really like about him. Again, whether I agree or disagree with him on different issues, he'll get right to the point. He doesn't mince words. And he says, basically, Christianity looks like a circus. It shouldn't be. And he's saying that the gospel doesn't have priority. The gospel has become a little thing. We don't even understand the attributes of God, but we sure know how to exalt man.
And those attributes that I've learned are justice, wisdom, power, and love.
Right. Now, here's the problem, though. The problem is that when you look at Christianity, what is it that you see? Well, you see the house built, but what foundation is that house built upon? Is it built upon the solid rock of the words of Jesus? Because That's what Jesus defines. Remember back in Matthew 7:24, it says, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them is like a man who builds his house on the rock.
He's the wise man.
Right. So he is saying you can be a wise man building your house upon the rock of my words in my life. What words? Well, the words that he had just spoken over the last several chapters. So let's go back to these chapters. And first of all, let's just get the context. Let's go all the way back. I mean, we started out in Matthew 7:24. We're going to go all the way back to Matthew 4:25 and then Matthew 5:1-2.
And the great crowds followed him from Galilee and Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying.
And then he goes into the teachings of what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about the Sermon on the Mount, most Christians can identify that as the Beatitudes.
Right.
But the Sermon on the Mount also continues in Matthew, the rest of Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. So that's all one inclusive teaching. Now the next thing is, who is Jesus talking to?
Well, in these verses we saw the great crowds were following him and his disciples came to him.
So you have the multitudes. It seems like Jesus never gets away from the multitudes.
No.
But it says his disciples came to him, and it says, and then he taught them, saying. So I think when we look at this, if we can visualize it, his disciples are close to him, and he's really talking to them. But you have these multitudes that are listening in
right
on the conversation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the words are meant for his truest followers, but they obviously spill over to everybody else who's out there listening.
Right.
So, and I think that's an important thing. The words are meant for his truest followers. One of the things about Christianity, for instance, about the New Testament, is that it is written for the followers of Christ. Now, if you're not a follower of Christ, doesn't mean you can't read it. But when you do read it, if you're not a follower of Christ, it's like you're reading somebody else's mail.
And it's going to be hard to understand.
Right. Because you're not necessarily looking at it from the proper context of understanding why would someone say this to me.
Mm-hmm. Plus the Spirit of the Lord helping you to understand.
Right, right.
It's not there.
So when we talk about building your house on a foundation, and the right foundation and a strong foundation, there's a lot more to it. It's a great simple picture, but it is a very important answer as to how do you figure out what that foundation is. And what is the foundation?
Well,
now that we're asking.
It's Jesus. He's the rock.
How do you know that?
Well, Romans 9:33 reads, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed.
So this stone of stumbling, this rock of offense, that doesn't sound very nice.
Well, it was Jesus.
And Jesus did not come to please everybody. He didn't come to make everybody happy.
No.
In the context in which they lived, he came to deliver the gospel message.
That's right. God's words given to him.
Right. So God's words given to Jesus are delivered to the masses of the people. Some will listen and some won't. The point is, are we listening to the words of Jesus, or are we trying to make the words of Jesus fit what we like to have so we can feel comfortable?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? Coming up in our next soundbite, a preacher says wealth is a byproduct of being a Christian. Do you agree?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985. That's the numeral 4-A-L-L. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And Jonathan, we're looking at the parable in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 27, and examining this thought that Jesus says, if you listen to my words and act on them, you're like one who builds their house on a strong foundation, and versus building your house on sand. And we all know that if you build your house on a foundation that's not secure, you're in for trouble down the road.
That's right.
It may look real good right now, And it may have been a whole lot less expensive to get into. But at some point,
it'll fall apart.
It catches up with you.
Yep.
So, the words, he says, if you listen to my words and act on them, what words? Well, we're going back and finding out that this was the Sermon on the Mount. So, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 16, and these are the Beatitudes. And sometimes, you know, people, you know, everybody knows the Beatitudes, and they are Beatitudes, attitudes that you can be a true Christian with.
And Rick, the first time I read this question, how strong is your foundation, you know, it brought me to the ransom of Jesus. And when you understand his sacrifice and his life was for all, it really helps dissipate false teachings because it is grounded. It's so strong, and he's just amazing to do that for us.
And that's really what this is about this morning is, okay, we want to focus in, we want to zero in on what the truest foundation is. And you're right, you have to get to the true teaching of Jesus to be able to get to the true foundation of Jesus. Well, what is it? How do you get there? Well, let's read through Jesus' words to give us a start. And there's a lot of words here. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 5 to 7, this is probably one of the most comprehensive teachings of Jesus in all of his ministry that's recorded.
Good point.
You've got Matthew 5, chapters 5 through 7, and then another very comprehensive teaching is John chapters 13 through 17. So this is at the very beginning of his ministry, then you've got the other one at the very end of his ministry. I think if you get both of those down, you really understand what the gospel, what the good news really is all about.
Yes.
Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. We're talking about the foundation. How do you know you are building on the foundation of Christ?
And the conversation continues on ChristianQuestions.net. Contact us there with your questions and comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net.
So, let's go, before we get into the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 16, let's go to another minister who looks at things, let's just say, from a different standpoint. This is Creflo Dollar. And he is a very, very popular TV evangelist. And the point here he's going to be talking about is about wealth and the Bible and the correlation. So let's listen and listen very carefully to this.
All through the Bible, wealth is acquired. Wealth is gained. All through the Bible. Now listen, here's been the deal. How come then, Brother Dollar, I mean, when mine gonna come in? All right, watch this. I'll tell you why I hadn't come in. You ain't given the blessing nothing to work with.
You haven't given the blessing nothing to work with? All through the Bible, wealth is gained. That's what he's saying. So that's an assumption that he's saying. He's looking at the scriptures. His observation is that wherever you look in the Bible, there's wealth being gained.
So if you don't have yours, something's wrong.
Right. What haven't you done? What haven't you done to get your wealth? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. And we have many archive programs that you can check out on our website. All kinds of topics. We've been doing this, what, Rick, for 13 years?
Yeah. You know, we're a little grayer than when we started, actually, when you think about it. Let's not talk about that. Let's get back to the Beatitudes. They're much more interesting. All right, Jonathan, let's go through these Beatitudes and with the backdrop of what Mr. Dollar just talked to us about. Let's listen to what Jesus says.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
So poor in spirit, poor in self-spirit, poor in... So essentially, blessed are the humble.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
And we've all had experiences of mourning in our lives.
Yes, we have.
And there's a promise of being comforted in your mourning.
How about blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth.
So, Jesus is giving us a sense of how to live here.
How about blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied.
It's one thing to appreciate righteousness.
Hunger and thirst.
Yeah.
Oh, you just give it your all.
Because it's something that you when you're hungering and thirsting, it's like you can't go on without it.
Yes.
So blessed are those, Jesus is saying, who have that kind of an attitude, because you will be satisfied in your hungering and thirsting after righteousness.
How about blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
So in other words, if we are in a position in our lives where mercy is appropriate to give, we ought to be giving it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we give it, we can receive it.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
You notice it doesn't say, blessed are they who do everything just right.
Well, I would be a big failure on that one.
But blessed are the pure in heart. It's a whole different perspective in saying, if your heart is in the right place, and what does it say? They shall see God.
Mm.
Now, that's pretty powerful.
Giving people the benefit of the doubt is something I think of being pure of heart, not being judgmental and accusing or...
Well, and I also think of it from the standpoint of personal effort, when mm-hmm. you really want to do something the right way, and maybe you falter and you fall down.
Yes.
I think about that because I do a lot of faltering.
About blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
So being a peacemaker and being called a son of God, peacemaker equates itself to being called a son of God.
How about blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
To be persecuted essentially means to be followed after. In other words,
pursued.
Pursued. That's a good word. That's a good word for it.
How about
Wait, okay. Just before we go any further. So you're pursued. Why? Because of righteousness. So somebody or some group or something, they don't like you because of righteousness. See, it's one thing for people to not like you because maybe you disagree on something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's another thing if people don't like you because you're standing up for just plain and simple what's right. It's not a matter of opinion, so to speak.
Good point. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
So here, you're blessed when people insult and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of things against you. Now, that doesn't sound like you're happy necessarily. It doesn't sound like, hey, life is great.
Yeah, Rick, but it's because of Jesus.
Right.
Remember, there's the key. Not just because of you.
So when
what you stand for.
Right. So you're in a position where you're standing for the gospel, the good news of Christ. And this is all about building your house on the right foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're standing for the right kinds of things, standing for Jesus, and you are meeting with resistance, you're blessed because of that. Even though it's not an easy thing, nobody likes to be insulted and put down and made little of and all of those kinds of things. We don't like that. But Jesus says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. So, Jonathan, we heard Mr. Dollar say before we went through the Beatitudes that all throughout the Bible, wealth is gained. Now, what's the most important thing? When you look back at what Jesus just said, was he talking about gaining wealth?
I can't find a trace of it, really, Rick.
Well, he did say, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth.
Okay.
But he wasn't talking about gaining personal wealth. What's the most important thing here? Jesus, I think, is focusing us with these Beatitudes on setting our minds to live in a godly way.
Mm-hmm.
He's not focusing us on put yourself in a position where you can get yours.
No. The first thought that came to mind when the question was here on the outline was, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. You know, Jesus wrapped up the law in those words.
All right. So we're looking at how do you know you're building your Christian house, if you will, on the right foundation. And the way to figure that out is, am I living according to these words of Jesus? Because he says, if you hear my words
and do them, act on them.
Right. Then you're like someone who builds their house on a rock. So it only makes sense to me to go back, go through his words, and see if in fact we're doing them. We are out and out challenging the perspective of many brands of Christianity that seem to be focusing on me rather than thee. Okay. We're saying
that's what it comes down to.
Are they building what foundation are they building on? What foundation are you building on? If you have a thought, it's 866-985 4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website is christianquestions.net. Now, Rick, there are too many subject matters for us to handle with all that Jesus is telling us to do in here in Matthew.
Just in these three chapters,
yes,
Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So what we did is all of the scriptures that we're not going to deal with in the program this morning, we'll make available to you.
That's right, Rick, through CQ Rewind, the full edition.
Right. So the bonus material of the full edition. Now, CQ Rewind gives you a summation of what the program was about. It gives you some transcripts and so forth and all of the scriptures. But there's a whole bunch that we just can't get to. So in the bonus material at the end of the full edition, which is something you sign up for at ChristianQuestions.net, you will have all of the scriptures that we skipped over. Because it's like, you know, you're trying to... You've got all of these pearls, and you say, which ones do we want to talk about? Oh, I don't know if I want to talk about it.
There's so many.
Right, and they're all good. So it's in CQ Rewind, available exclusively at ChristianQuestions.net. Jonathan, let's go to verse 13 in Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth.
Okay, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven.
So by saying you're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world, what it's saying is that you are different than everybody else.
And salt's a preservative.
Right. So others should look to you and see inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And what are they supposed to be inspired by? God through you. That's what they're supposed to be inspired by, because it says, let your light so shine so they may see your good works and do what? Makes it say, whoa, Jonathan, you're the best guy I ever met.
No,
wow, Jonathan,
no.
It's all about you. Jonathan.
It's all about bringing praise, honor, and glory to God our Father and Jesus our Lord.
And Jesus is the one who told us that.
That's right.
So if, and here's the test, I think, good foundation, well, if people are glorifying you.
Mm-mm, problem.
Right, then what's your foundation? But if they're glorifying God in heaven because of you, aha. See, that's a whole lot better place to be.
That is.
Folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. And how can people email us, Rick?
They can. We have a personal email at Rick, R-I-C-K, at christianquestions.net. It is a personal email. That means you'll get a personal response, and it won't take us long to respond. Give me a few days, but it won't take us long to get back to you. Rick at christianquestions.net. Let's go further down in Matthew chapter 5. We're going to skip some verses that you can find in CQ Rewind at christianquestions.net. Let's go down to Matthew 5, 23 and 24.
Therefore, if you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering.
Now see, this is a good foundation teaching of Jesus. He's saying if you are being pious, if you're expressing your piety, but you're not right with your brother.
Pie? I love pie.
No.
Mincemeat
piety,
pie, cherry pie.
Spirituality, Jonathan. Come on now. Let's focus. If you are focusing on being spiritual, but your life is not following through with that, leave the offering there. Go to your brother first. That's what real true spirituality is. That's how to find the foundation.
Rick, weren't we told to be merciful, to be pure in heart,
right.
Be peacemakers, be poor in spirit? Well, that's going back to your brother and saying, I'm sorry, or we have a miscommunication here.
Right, so this is doing what we were talking about earlier. Exactly, right. So, Jonathan, as we wrap up this segment here, fact check. All right, we're going to do some fact checks. How many things that Jesus talked about are about how to get versus how many things that Jesus talked about so far about how to give?
I didn't hear any of getting. I heard everything of giving.
And I think that's one of the keys in understanding the concept of building your house, your spiritual Christian house, on the right foundation. There's foundations to choose from. Do you have the right one?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. The subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? Are TV evangelists in cahoots with the devil? We'll check out our next soundbite after the break.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick, and our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, you said something at the end of that last segment about our televangelists in cahoots with Satan.
Yeah, that's...
Wow.
We have to listen to this next soundbite. It's interesting.
Coming up in just a couple minutes here. We'll get to that. We're going through Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And no, we're not going to cover all the verses. Yes, you can get all the verses at ChristianQuestions.net by going to Seek Your Rewind to the full edition. The bonus material, you sign up for it. It's an email you get once a week. There's no cost and no obligation, but it will have all of the things that we're skipping over because we just don't have time, and to complete the study, if you will. A great, great tool there for you, your use, only available at ChristianQuestions.net. Seek Your Rewind. Try it. You'll like it.
And we're talking about...
It's better than pie.
Okay. I'll believe you. We're talking about how strong is your foundation. And Jesus is saying, well, you've got to listen to my words and then act on them, and then you're a wise man if you do that.
And that's a big thing, because in order to build wisely, you have to find the right foundation, listen to Jesus' words, and act on them. So let's go back to Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 48.
You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
So here, Jonathan, it's talking about loving your enemies. This is one of those teachings of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus that you not only have to hear, but have to do.
And love those who persecute you. Whoa.
That's not
an
easy...
How hard is it?
Of course. It's a very, very difficult thing to do that. And if you are just being friendly to those who are friendly to you, he's saying, well, anybody can do that. He said, Jesus is basically saying, I'm expecting more from you.
Rise above.
Right. Rise above what everybody else does, what everybody else thinks, the way everybody else lives. Don't allow yourself to be just in that same category. Jonathan, let's go to, you know what? Let's go to the phones first.
All right.
And then we're going to go to that soundbite that you were alluding to.
Okay. Well, we have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I appreciate your Bible study.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to join you. I like the saying you give at the beginning, the quotation, I think it's worth repeating. A successful man is one that builds a foundation with the bricks that were thrown at him.
Yes.
I like that.
David Brinkley said that.
Oh, Brinkley. Oh, great, great. Okay, number one, Psalms 127, unless Jehovah builds a house, they labor in vain.
Good scripture.
They build. Isn't that a nice scripture?
Perfect.
I'm sure you said it before.
Yeah, but I didn't have it for this program, so Julius, you're the man.
Okay, number two. You know, I don't know. I cannot read the hearts of those that made this statement about the Titanic. Not even God could sink it.
Yeah.
You know, I cannot judge the motives of those that said it, but I wish they had said, let's offer a prayer to the Lord God that this ship would prevail over any rough seas. See, brothers, without God, it's all in vain. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you, Julius. Appreciate your call.
Yes, bye-bye.
And Julius actually brings up an important point that we're going to get back to after we listen to our next soundbite about judging the motive. So, Julius, thanks for the call. Thanks for the scriptures. And for your participation. So we're looking at, unless God builds the house, it's built in vain. Well, how do you get God to be your contractor? As you build on the right foundation. And he's right there to help us with the building. Let's go to another soundbite. This is John MacArthur. He's another preacher. And he's talking about Jesus' temptations. The context of this was from truthsource.net. The context of this is he's actually talking about some of the teachings of another preacher, Joel Osteen. We're not going to get into all of that, but that's the context of what he's saying here in this segment on Jesus' temptations.
I mean, what did Satan say to Jesus? Grab some satisfaction. Why are you hungry? You need to eat. You need to be healthy, whole. Why would you let yourself be unpopular? Dive off the temple corner. Whoa, everybody will be wowed. You'll be the winner. You'll be the champion. You'll be the Messiah. They'll heal you. And by the way, if you just look over the kingdoms of the world, I'll give those to you too. That's satanic. And why are these false teachers so successful at what they do? Because they're in cahoots with the devil.
That's where you got it from.
That's where I got it from.
All right, so the question we have to ask ourselves is, are these folks that are preaching different versions of the gospel? We're gonna get more deeply into this as we go through the program. Folks, you wait and see some of the stuff that we've got for you coming up, some of the sound bites and so forth. Are they in cahoots with the devil? I mean, can you say that? And that's a hard statement.
And Rick, after the soundbite, we remember that the account of Jesus' temptations were in Matthew 4, and that's shortly before the Sermon on the Mount.
Right. So the next recorded event really is the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
So this is really at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And so he had just gone through that experience dealing with Satan and putting Satan aside, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's an important context for us. And Jonathan, when you look at the brands of the gospel that are out there, there are lots of them, and there are many, 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 many things that we look at and we kind of shudder when we hear them, because it doesn't seem to fit the foundation that we're talking about.
Exactly.
Now, the question: are they in cahoots with the devil?
Well,
folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Our website is christianquestions.net, and you can certainly contact us there at the website. You can take a look at Facebook. You can get involved in Facebook.
Our updated blog.
It's all available. rick@christianquestions.net is the email. Lots of ways to get in touch with us if talking on the phone is not your thing. Of course, if it is your thing or you want to try it out, give it a try, 866-985-4255. Jonathan, let's go back to, we're not going back to pie.
Well, we had a pie cake conversation here during the break.
Yes, we did.
Which do you like more?
I like cake better. But anyway, I like to have my cake, and I'd like to eat it too, but that's not possible. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 8, is Jesus teaching us. This is still the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching us the art of Christian giving.
Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
So, interestingly, this is saying, make sure that the giving that you do is something that you're doing for the sake of the giving only.
Mm-hmm.
It's not for the sake of giving, so I can say to you, okay, Jonathan, watch this. Watch how generous I'm going to be. Just watch. Wait, here we go. Are you watching? Do you have the camera? Because what it's saying is the giving needs to come from the heart, and it needs to be quiet, and it needs to be sincere, and it needs to be God-driven. So it's not for the recognition. It's because the giving is appropriate.
That's right.
And that's foundation.
And that reminds me of peer pressure in tithing. When the plate's being passed at church, people are looking at you. Are you giving? And it's like, wait, isn't it supposed to be in secret? Can't I just slip it in the back when I come in and no one's watching because I'm giving from the heart and I don't want anyone to know what I'm doing?
That's a great point. So the most important thing is the reason for the giving.
Yes.
It's the reason for the giving, and it's not, the reason ought not to ever be to draw attention to oneself.
Exactly.
And I think that's such a powerful, powerful part of this whole, this whole concept. You know, Jonathan, during our last break, Trish, our call screener, came in and said, "You know, I got a scripture for you on that Creflo Dollar comment about wealth is always being gained in the Bible."
Right.
She had a really, really good scripture too, but we're not going to talk about it yet.
No, we're not.
It's coming later, though.
Sorry, Trish.
It's coming. I promise. So let's go back now. Jesus continues in Matthew chapter 6, and he talked about giving, how to give by building on the right foundation, and now he's going to talk about prayer using the right foundation.
When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use mindless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard from their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him.
This is a powerful tool of foundation finding.
Yes.
When you look at prayer, the art of Christian prayer is steeped in humility and in praise for God.
And pray from your heart. Have a conversation with the Lord.
And Jesus is giving a scathing indictment to those who stand on the street corners and pray out loud and make a big fuss about it. He's saying they do it so they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. In other words, there's their reward. You can clap for them all you want. Go ahead, clap loudly, because that's all they get. God is not pleased with that kind of a prayer. He's far more pleased with the kind of prayer that comes from deep within your heart and is quiet and others don't need to or have to know about it. So when we're looking at this, what's the most important thing? What's the most important thing in prayer? Is it to be heard? Is it to be seen?
Not at all.
It is to be heard by God and God alone. That's the foundation that we're supposed to be building on. So folks, let's look at ourselves and say, okay, how am I doing? How am I doing with my Christian giving? How am I doing with my Christian prayer life? Am I doing these things in such a humble way as to be recognized only by God? If I'm not, if I'm doing it so that others can notice me, like, hey, here I am, see how pious I am, then something is wrong with your foundation.
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how strong is your foundation? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go down to Matthew 6. We're going to skip down to verses 19 through 21. And this is another clear-cut foundation tool to check to see if we are really building on the right foundation or not.
Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
So that is a powerful tool of looking at what am I building my foundation on? What kind of treasure ought I to have?
And I'm thinking the treasure is your relationship with God and Jesus. That's the treasure.
So the treasure isn't what you get.
No.
The treasure isn't what you accumulate.
Not at all.
The treasure isn't your health, wealth, prosperity, and self-esteem.
No.
The treasure is something far greater than that, and it's far less tangible than all of those things. And that's why it's where your treasure is, there will your heart be. When Mr. Dollar says, well, wealth is continually found and created throughout the Bible. I wonder what he does with this scripture. It says, store up your treasures in heaven. Does he have a bank account in heaven? I mean, think about it. Is that what it's all about? Is it having a bank account, a heavenly account? Do you have heavenly CDs? What do you have?
Wow.
The treasure in heaven is a very, very different perspective than what a lot of preachers are telling us. And the question we're asking folks this morning is, what foundation am I? What foundation are you building on? Is it the words of Christ, or is it someone else's words that make you feel good, make you look forward to something, but it's not exactly what Jesus talked about? In the second hour, we're going to continue with this line of thought. We're going to go through more of the discussion of the Sermon on the Mount and figure out the foundation of building on Christ. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We'll be back soon after the news. But until then, how strong is your foundation? We'll be back soon. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Kong Fu Zi once said that humility is the solid foundation of all virtues. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is that biblical topic for this morning?
Well, Rick, our question is, how strong is your foundation? And our theme text is found in Matthew 7, verse 25. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock.
So we're looking at the strong foundation that Jesus is talking about in the parable of Matthew 7, verses 24 to 27. And we are discussing what it means to build on the foundation, the real foundation, because the parable says if you don't build on a foundation, you got trouble.
It all falls apart, Rick.
Right here in River City, there's trouble. And we do want to welcome in our listeners in WNOX 100.3 FM in Knoxville, Tennessee. We are so glad that you are here to join us this morning.
Yes, we are.
For this second hour, we want to remind you that you can get the first hour at ChristianQuestions.net. You can either listen online live for that first hour, or you can get it in archive form. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. The archive will be available a little bit later today. But again, welcome, and we're glad you're joining us. Jonathan, let's sum up some of the things that we talked about in the first hour before we continue the discussion.
Well, hearing Jesus' words is only the beginning. Acting on them is the important thing.
And we know that because that's what Jesus said.
Yes.
What else?
And it is the combination of a firm foundation and a well-built house that repels the storm.
So you have to have the firm foundation, but you also have to do a good job building the house. And those two things together are what can repel the storm.
And in Matthew, we have to live those Beatitudes.
And when Jesus says, if you listen to my words and act on them, those words start with the Beatitudes in the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. They go through Matthew chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 7. We're trying to do a sort of a skim report, if you will, of all of those chapters.
Also, have brotherly concern before piety.
So instead of being all trying to be all holy, if your life isn't right with those around you, you got to make your life right first and then pursue your holiness.
And Jesus gave us a challenge, Rick. It's love your enemies.
Not just love the people that like you and not be friendly to the people that are friendly to you, but much, much more than that.
That's right. Also, practice your piety in secret.
So when you are being spiritual, don't advertise it to everybody in the world. It's between you and God. Make sure it's that way. And Jonathan, all of these things are foundation. This is the foundation that Jesus was talking about. We have to build on these things in order to be acceptable to God.
And Jesus also told us to store our treasures in heaven, where your heart is.
So if you're after earthly wealth and accumulation, there is no bank account in heaven. Let me give you a hint.
No security box.
That's right. There are no CDs that mature in heaven, okay? And what it boils down to is where your heart is. There is where your treasure is. Is your heart set on things of the earth, or is it set on heavenly things? So those are some of the things we talked about in the first hour. Jonathan, a few things. Talk to us about Seeker Rewind a little bit.
Well, yes. If you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut, 06320. And you can contact us on the web there. Again, that's ChristianQuestions.net. And also, we have tons of archive programs on a variety of subjects. Check them out again. That's ChristianQuestions.net. And Rick, yes, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind has two parts. The first is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcripts, and scriptural citations. Now, that's available as a free download. But the second is the full edition, the one you really want. Now, that's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcripts, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format, full of graphics and illustrations. Now, that's also available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program. Now see it as well.
That is a terrific tool, if I do say so myself. We have some great people working on it on a weekly basis, and it's there for your to help you just get more out of what we're doing here, and it's exclusive. You can't find it anywhere else but ChristianQuestions.net. CQ Rewind. Check it out.
So how strong is your foundation, Rick?
That's the question. Well, in the first hour, we did listen to a soundbite from Creflo Dollar. Mm-hmm. He is a televangelist. He teaches some things that we are definitely questioning at this point. And we're going to listen to another soundbite from him. This was an interview he did on Larry King. And Larry King is essentially challenging him about, okay, you know, you've got all of these things. Isn't that contrary to what your teaching is supposed to be all about? So this is fascinating. Let's listen to this.
Don't you think most people would say that what you're doing, if you've got a corporate jet, whether the church owns it or not, is basically it's anti what you're teaching?
Not at all. What we teach is a gospel that simply says, according to the word, that it is God's will for you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. We also believe that the Father takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. So if the First Amendment is still in operation, then whether people agree with it or not, it still gives us the freedom to exercise what we believe from the Word of God.
Wow, there's a lot there.
Ooh, a corporate jet, huh?
All right. And King asked him, Larry King asked him, okay, well, isn't a corporate jet, whether you own it personally or not, isn't that against what you're teaching? He said, no, not at all. He says, we teach a gospel that says God will prosper. It's God's will for you to prosper and to be in health. That's God's will for you. And he takes pleasure in the health and the wealth of his children. That's his perspective on the gospel. Now, here's a question, folks. Is that the solid foundation that Jesus is talking about?
Is that the gospel or is that a gospel?
Aha! Now, there is a good question. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. Rick, this subject reminds me of last week. Beth called in at the end of our program last week.
Yeah, and she was asking about, well, we were talking about the we versus them concept of the two parts of salvation. And,
yes.
And she kept saying, well, you know, how can I be sure that I want to be one of the we?
Mm-hmm.
And really, this program is focusing on, well, these are the things that Jesus told us to put us in perspective so we can be part of that.
It's a continuation of last week's program.
In a lot of ways it was, and that was a great, great call from Beth at the end of the program. So, Jonathan, let's get back to Mr. Dollar here. And he says, we teach a gospel that says thus and so and thus and so. Let's just take a look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel.
Okay, for a different gospel. So, what the apostle is saying here is that there are a lot of brands of the gospel, and he's going to be very specific now about what we should do about this.
Which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed.
And what is that gospel that the Apostle Paul preached? Jesus Christ and him crucified. And the gospel of true Christianity, according to the words of Jesus, are not about accumulation.
We haven't found any, Rick.
Well, and we're still looking.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get into some things in a little while. Again, folks, you want to stay with us, because we're going to go back to Mr. Dollar a little bit later in the program, because he's got some very good answers in terms of accumulation. And answers, we'll deal with them later.
We'll have to wait.
That's right. We'll have to wait. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 6. That's where we left off from the first hour. This is Jesus teaching the Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew 6, 31 to 34. And he's really basically saying here, focus on God first and God only.
Do not worry, then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So here Jesus is really saying, don't even be worrying about things and stuff.
Right.
Because God's taking care of you.
He provides miracles every day for us.
Now, does that mean, Jonathan, does that mean that while we're not supposed to worry about those things, that we can just kind of sit back and say, okay, let me think. I'm a Christian. Everything is in order for me. God's going to take care of me.
Rick,
I'm just going to sit in my rocking chair, and I'm going to enjoy the day.
You're going to eat your cake, too, right?
Is that what it means?
No. We have responsibilities.
So it's not saying don't fulfill your responsibilities.
No.
But it's saying don't be overcharged with the gaining of things and stuff.
Where's your focus?
Right. And where your heart is, there where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And I think that's important. So the most important thing is seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Now, does it mean that all these things will be added in such an abundance that you won't have enough garages to fit all of your cars? because there are those who take the gospel and say that's what's going to happen. That's what they say. That's what's going to happen. But is that what Jesus says is going to happen? 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. It means we're on right now. We'd love to get your thoughts. How strong is your foundation? What is Jesus telling us to build on, and what is he telling us to avoid?
And our website, christianquestions.net. The conversation continues online at christianquestions.net. Contact us there with your questions or comments. Also, interact with us on Facebook and our always updated blog.
And if you are not feeling like you want to make a phone call, you can certainly email us at rick@christianquestions.net. Did you notice everything is revolving around christianquestions.net?
Yeah, well, it's a good place to go.
It is a good place to go. Jonathan, let's go on to Matthew chapter 7, 1 through 5, because here Jesus is talking about how we should be judging one another.
Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
So here Jesus is saying you need to be extraordinarily careful in how you judge one another.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, because oftentimes, and this is a great observation for humanity, when we are looking and judging someone else, what we're seeing in them is something that is much bigger in ourselves.
We have blind spots.
Right, right. And we are not in a good position. And Julius mentioned this in his call in the first hour about not being able to read the heart.
Mm.
We can't read somebody else's heart. So when you look at someone like a Mr. Dollar talking about his version of the gospel, which I just don't get. What we're seeing is, you look at that and say, okay, well, maybe he truly, truly believes that. Great, that's fine, that's wonderful, that's dandy, but I don't see it in the gospel.
Mm.
I don't see it remotely close to the gospel. And that's the thing that to me is disturbing. So again, folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. So, Rick, what is the most important thing?
Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And, you know, Jonathan, in Galatians, we won't read it, Galatians 1:10, it says we need to be seeking the favor of God rather than the favor of men. When we look at these things, is Jesus teaching us to seek popularity? Or is he teaching us to seek spirituality? There's a big difference between those two things. A lot of the gospel that we see today seems to be built around popularity. What are you going to do about it?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how strong is your foundation? True or false? The more you tithe, the more you receive from God. Our conversation continues after the break.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? To be a part of our program, call toll free, 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means right we're on right now on our website, christianquestions.net. And have you checked out CQ Rewind lately?
Something you ought to check out. It's available at christianquestions.net exclusively, and it gives you a listing of all of the scriptures, some of the commentary.
Graphics, illustrations.
Very, very nicely done. And the bonus material when you sign up for the free email edition adds a whole bunch to the end, and we're skipping over a lot of scriptures here that
we don't have time.
Right, that the bonus edition, bonus material in the full edition, that's what I'm trying to say, we'll have for you. So check it out, christianquestions.net, Seek Your Rewind. Free service. Jonathan, let's go to back to Matthew chapter 7. We're going through the words of Jesus to establish the foundation that we're supposed to have. And, you know, God, one of the previous sound bites said, you know, God wants us to be happy and to prosper and all of that. He delights in our prosperity. Well, Matthew 7 through 11, certainly seems to support that thought.
Ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you whom, when his son asks for a loaf, he will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?
So here you have Jesus in the same context of all the things we talked about, the Beatitudes and praying in secret and giving in secret, saying, look, you need to learn to ask God because he wants to bless you.
Well, Rick, what Jesus is saying here, aren't these the necessities of life, the simple things that we need for our daily, you know, well-being?
So in other words, what you're saying is if you ask in full faith and enthusiasm and excitement, dear Lord, please give me a new Mercedes-Benz.
No, he's asking for some bread and some from protein, some fish.
All right, so there's a little bit of a different perspective
yeah.
on that. And I think that's the thing that we need to realize, that God wants us. He does want us to be happy mm-hmm. in our service to him. But our happiness needs to come through that ability to have self-denial as part of it. And I think Jesus has given us the foundation for that long before this verse. So you can't take these verses and say, see, you can get anything you want because God wants you to be happy. Sure he does, within the context of serving him.
Yes.
That's the key.
Well, Rick, let's go to the phones. We have Ed from Tennessee. Good morning, Ed, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Yes, good morning. Well, it's not really a question, but it is a comment.
Go ahead.
First off, Creflo Dollar is proven to be a false teacher simply because he's been quoted as talking about we being little gods, and you can get that at equip.org, which is Hank Hanegraaff's Christian Research Institute. He and Joyce Myers have both been their audio recordings that tell, you know, the audience that they are little gods.
Yeah, I've actually heard that.
And the other thing is, as far as the gift to get gospel, it's it unfortunately is the one that gets all the play today. And but you look at the book of Acts, where there was Simon the Sorcerer, or I believe he was a sorcerer, but anyway, he tried to buy the power of the Holy Spirit from Peter, and Peter cursed him, and or cursed his, you know, cursed his money.
Right.
He was wanting to buy the guy, you know, he was wanting to buy what they had. The other thing is, a lot of these pundits don't ever talk about is when Paul told Timothy, do not seek to be rich. And then you look at James, and James also rebuked the rich. So, you know, God's not opposed to being rich, but God wants our treasure to be in Christ and not in the things of this world. Because, matter of fact, the New Testament declares that the things of this world are foreign to God. And so when these guys are preaching this gospel, and then one last thing, if God wants everybody to be rich, then God owes an apology to our brothers and sisters around the world in India and Islamic countries and China and whatnot. These people give everything they have, and they're living in poverty.
Ed, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your comments. Very well said. You obviously know your scriptures, and you're obviously passionate about your perspective.
Well, I am. I live in Florida. I'm passing through Tennessee, but I've had family members that have gotten off on these tangents, and they've been listening to this swill for the last 20 years, and they're not any richer today. The only people that are getting richer are the guys, the false teachers behind the pulpit.
You're right about that. And Ed, look, if you live in Florida, you can listen to us live online at ChristianQuestions.net every Sunday morning. We appreciate your comments and your participation. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too.
Take care.
Great, great, great comments. Great scriptures. Great perspective. And he's right. If God wants us all to be rich, he's not doing a very good job.
So, he failed?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what you'd be saying.
Oh,
so you know, there's so much more to this. And the whole point is the right foundation. Let's make sure that we're building on the foundation that Jesus says. And he's not talking about wealth, earthly wealth. He's talking about spiritual wealth, having your heart where your treasure is. And that should be in heaven, not on earth. So, Ed, thanks again so much for your thoughts and your participation. And Jonathan, he's going to really like this next soundbite then.
Uh-oh, I don't think so.
This is a different preacher named Eddie Long, and he's talking about the results of tithing as your faith. And look, folks, the reason we're quoting these is because we want you to understand that the Ed, in his last comment, he was right. This is what gets a lot of play out there. And so the point what we want to make is, okay, great. It's great that things get publicity, but what's the truth on the matter? What is the foundation that Jesus is talking about? Is it what they're saying, or is it something different? So let's listen to Mr. Eddie Long here.
I believe you're going to open up the windows of heaven. I believe you're going to rebuke the devourer. I believe you're going to protect my stuff. I believe everything you said. Now, even though it looks difficult, God said, now let me tell you something. We're in Las Vegas now. Because I want you to take a risk with me. It really ain't a risk. The only person sweating is you, because you have let money possess you that you don't trust me enough to give you more than you give me.
All right, so
what did he say?
He says, I believe that you, talking to God, I believe you will open the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourer and protect my stuff. And then he goes on to this congregation and says, I want you to take a risk with me. You have let money possess you that so you don't trust me enough to give you more than you give me.
So this is he's talking about tithing.
Yes.
The more you give
the
in
more
tithing.
The more you get.
Oh, my.
So it's a direct correlation. Give more, get more. If you want to get, you need to give. If you want to get, you need to give. Now, the question is that the Christian attitude that Jesus is talking about? Is that what's important here, or is that completely missing the boat?
You're listening to Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? If you have a thought, give us a call at 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's go to James 4, 1 to 3. This fits in very well along with Ed from Tennessee, his last call there. And then alongside, when you put that call and his comments next to the last soundbite, James 4, 1 to 3 really puts it in perspective.
What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures.
There you have it. So when Jesus says in Matthew 7, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full, James puts it in perspective, just like Ed in his call said.
Mm-hmm.
You do not receive because you're asking for the wrong things. You're asking for things to be consumed by your own pleasures and desires. You're not asking for things that are completely spiritually based. Big difference. So the foundation, how strong is your foundation? God wants us to be happy in our service to Him, not our service to ourselves. That's really what it boils down to.
How about the golden rule? And everything do to others as you would have them do to you, for this is the law and the prophets.
So it's a matter of being very, very selfless in our approach to so many things.
Well, Rick, back to the phones. We have Esther from Indiana. Good morning, Esther, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I appreciate this subject very much because it makes me feel so awful to hear how the preachers these days are talking about monetary value. And instead, our Lord, our Jesus, who had nothing while he was on this earth, we are told, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And those issues really are the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. It's not your pocketbook that's going to be built. I appreciate your program today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Esther.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate it very much. And she nailed it right down. And you notice how simple her comment was?
But it was powerful.
It was so straightforward. She said in about 30 seconds what it's taken me an hour and a half to say. So thanks, Esther, for that. We really appreciate it. And it really, really does make so much more sense to look at the simplicity of it all. And, you know, Jonathan, we end up focusing a lot on the money part. Mm-hmm. It's not just about money, though. It's the gospel of prosperity is the gospel of self-esteem, of feeling good, of all about
success
in me. The gospel of Jesus Christ is very different than that. Let's look at Matthew 7, 13 to 16 to get a sense. Again, this is the foundation teachings that Jesus is pointing us to.
Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter therein. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they?
So enter through the narrow gate. And it says, the gate is wide and broad that leads to destruction. That's an easy one to find. But the off-ramp to spirituality is a dirt road that's got lots of potholes and difficulties on it. And it doesn't look very enticing from a human standpoint.
You're right.
It's not supposed to be. So when God answers our prayers about following after Him, what He's not going to do is He's not going to pad your self-esteem. Mm-hmm. He's not going to give you a sense of prosperity. What He's giving you is a sense of spirituality, a sense of following after Jesus, a sense of walking in His footsteps, denying yourself daily. That's what this really boils down to.
Well, Jesus' words, you know, beware of false prophets, the ravenous wolves, reminded me of Matthew 23:14. It's a you devour the widow's houses. And he's talking to the scribes and Pharisees.
Yeah.
And, you know, there could be a parallel to ministers and priests to today. You know, you see in the newspaper, so-and-so died recently and left their millions or their estate to the church. And you think, well, those poor families or children or, you know, was this right? Is this real? Why does the church need all this?
Well, and that's an important question. And we're going to actually get to that in the coming segment. So, folks, you want to stick with us because we're going to go back to Mr. Creflo Dollar. And he talks about the rich young ruler. And he says, well, you know, God promised him something great afterwards. So what do you do with that? You know, promised him 100-fold. How do you how do you put that all in perspective? Jonathan, let's go down to, because we're looking at the difficulties involved when we get down on, start building on the wrong foundation, a foundation of sand, which is just going to wash away. Matthew 7, 21 to 23, it follows very much along with what you were just saying.
Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
So this scripture is, again, this is part of the foundational teachings of Jesus. In Matthew 7:24, he said, he who hears my words and acts on them is like someone who builds his house upon a rock. And these are part of the words that Jesus had just spoken. He had just spoken these words before he gives that parable. And what is he saying? He's saying that there's going to come a time when people who are thinking they're doing the will of God are going to come to me and say, weren't we prophesying in your name? Weren't we doing magnificent works in your name?
He didn't know them.
And that's what he says. I will say to them, I do not know you, because they were not doing the will of God. So it's not the magnificence of the works. It's not the bigness of the church. It's not the gloriousness of the presentation. It is doing the will of God, and the will of God only. That's what Jesus says is building on a firm foundation.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, how strong is your foundation? Was the rich young ruler promised 100 times his original wealth if he gave all to the poor? Our next preacher says it's a fact. Well, what are we waiting for?
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, how strong is your foundation? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8, and that means we're on right now. And our website is ChristianQuestions.net.
And, Jonathan, we are going to be looking at this context of the rich young ruler. And it's an interesting story. And before we, to get this started, we're going to play a soundbite from Creflo Dollar again. And look, we're using him because, first of all, there's a lot of stuff available on him, so it's easy to find. And he, frankly, is a very, very, very good communicator. He's very smooth in what he says, and he comes across incredibly believable. And those are important things for us to look at and to realize. Here he's being interviewed about his approach, kind of like with the Larry King thing.
Okay.
And the interviewer, I think, thinks that she's got him.
Okay.
But just listen to how he answers this. This is fascinating.
Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Respond to that?
Respond to that.
Well, first of all, when the rich young ruler showed up and he said, you know, what you need to do is take the things that you have to sell it, and then come and follow me. It was about loving God with your stuff. If you keep reading down a couple more scriptures, it says, and he received 100-fold everything that he gave, everything that he sold.
So his answer is, well, it's about loving God with your stuff, and if you give, it says he received 100-fold. Read down a few more scriptures. And now, I obviously didn't play the rest of the soundbite, but she didn't pursue it because she didn't have an answer for it. Like, oh, really? Does it really say that? Well, does it really say that?
Does it?
Well, okay, good question. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4-ALL. We're live Sunday morning from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net, and check out our Facebook and our always updated blog.
Also, go to ChristianQuestions.net, sign up for CQ Rewind, the full edition. You'll get the bonus material, especially from this week, Jonathan. We've got all the scriptures in this Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that we weren't able to discuss. They're in the bonus material. It's a free service. It's there for the taking exclusively at ChristianQuestions.net. Jonathan, let's go to Matthew 19, 27 to 29.
Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. what then will there be for us?
See, now there's an important question. Peter's saying, okay, what are we going to get from this?
And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his throne, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake will receive many times as much now in this present age and will inherit eternal life.
So this is the scripture that Mr. Dollar is talking about. Those who have left houses and brothers and sisters and father and mother and children, all of those things will receive many times as much now and will inherit eternal life.
Where's the hundredfold?
Well, in the King James Version, it says hundredfold.
Okay.
Okay, so in the New American Standard Version that you read, it says many times as much. So here's the thing. Is that because what Mr. Dollar said is, well, you know, he received a hundredfold, you know, many times as much. We'll use that as an illustration.
Okay.
This rich young ruler received many times as much. Well, let's look at the account here for a minute. Let's talk about it. First of all, who did Jesus tell this rich young ruler to give his stuff to?
The poor.
Okay. So let's be clear on this. Did Jesus say, give your money to me so that I can distribute it to the poor for you?
No, that didn't come up.
Did Jesus say, give your money to us, meaning his disciples, so we can make sure it's distributed for you?
Nope.
He just simply said, give it to the poor.
Yes.
So he made it a matter between that man, his own conscience, and Jesus left him to that.
Jesus did not promise the rich young man anything except, Rick, eternal life.
That's right. He didn't promise him anything except eternal life. That was the promise. He had no concept of gaining anything else, so Jesus was asking him to give up without getting. What these preachers do is say, give up so I can get it back for you. In other words, they're giving us this, the instantaneous gratification of, yeah, put your money in the coffers and the coffers will give back to you. That's not the way Jesus did it, ever.
Fact check.
Ever, ever. I'm not done with my evers yet.
Ever?
Ever, ever. Okay, go ahead.
Fact check. Thus far, how many of Jesus' words are about how to get and how many are about how to give?
Jesus is not concerned about our getting. He's concerned about our giving. If we, in our gospel, in the gospel that we are following after, are concerned about getting, not only for the sake of dollars and cents, and again, that seems to be the primary issue, but we don't want to make it the primary issue. If we're concerned about getting in terms of our happiness in life, of our self-esteem, of our prospering in all aspects of our lives, of our success, if you will, God wants you to have a better job. God wants you to be the CEO. God wants you to have a bigger car. God wants you to have great relationships. Well, God does want us to have some of those things.
Well, Rick, we were talking at the break, and it's easy to get caught up in the emotions. And you had a friend, a sister in Christ, that shared experiences with you about this.
Yeah, she had gone to a church that was very much like that. And she said to me that, and she lived on a fixed income, had very, very little, and she gave a lot. And she said, you know, I never got mine the way they were saying I would. And I would ask her, well, so, well, what did that do for you? How did you react to that? And her words to me were, you know, I felt like I must be missing something. I must not be faithful enough. I must not be spiritual enough. And I would work and I would try and I would pray and I would give the way they said, but it never came back to me. You see the damage done by this thing about the gospel of getting? That's not what the foundation is. The whole point of this program, Jonathan, is talking about the foundation that Jesus sets for us. It is a spiritually founded or spiritually based foundation. It has nothing to do with getting stuff. It has nothing to do with how you feel.
Developing the fruits of the Spirit like Esther mentioned?
Right, absolutely.
That's what it's about.
That's what the gospel, the true gospel is all about. Folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. Rick, before I knew the Lord, I was thinking last night about the subject. I was valueless. I was nothing. I had no direction. But since God came into my life, I have wealth untold. I'm rich in understanding of God.
You don't live in that big a house.
I am rich in understanding of God's word and his plan. I have a family that loves me and they're dedicated to God. I'm content in my life. I have peace, which passeth all understanding. because of Jesus' sacrifice. And I see God's hand in all my daily affairs. You know, what more could you want?
Well, and that's the thing. When you are focused on spiritual things, that's a great question to ask, is what more could you want? And when we get involved in this gospel of self-esteem, there's something dramatically wrong with that. We need to, and look, am I saying self-esteem is a bad thing? Of course not. Am I saying you shouldn't do things to improve your self-esteem? No, I'm not. Not at all. What I am saying is that if that is our focus and that's why we come to Jesus, then we're coming for the wrong reasons. Then we're not hearing, we're not building on the right foundation, which is all of the words which Jesus spoke in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in this instance. Let's look at Matthew 19, 21 to 26. That's the actual account or the end of the account of the rich man that comes to Jesus.
Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me."
So he's supposed to go and sell his possessions first, and then come and follow Jesus.
Yeah, after he gave everything to the poor.
Right, Jesus wants no part of his possessions.
Exactly.
All right, let's just be clear on that.
"But when the young man had heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.' When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, 'Then who can be saved?' And looking at them, Jesus said to them, 'With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'"
So there's some very, very important points here as we look at the context of understanding the foundation we're supposed to be building on of Jesus' words and teachings. And he says something interesting here, Jonathan. He talks about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
Now, what does that mean?
It's a small gateway.
The eye of the needle now.
Right.
Okay.
At an ancient city. This way, the enemies couldn't come in and break through, but there was a small opening. You had to unload the camel. It had to get down on its knees, crawl through. You had to carry the stuff back inside, put it back on the camel, and then continue on your journey. So that's what the eye of the needle was.
So the needle's eye was literally a small door in the large gate of a city.
Yes.
So, and that's what, you know, the large gate would be barred at night, but that small door would be accessible. That way you couldn't be invaded.
That's right.
So you have this small door, and the key was that the camel could go through the needle's eye if it unloaded all of its stuff. And then the picture, I think, is astounding.
Stuff. I love it.
Yeah, unload your stuff, and then it has to get down on its knees. And they have to work this animal through this thing on its knees. It's a struggle, but it can be done. It can be done. But if we unload our stuff, now, well, let's be careful, because as we talk about unloading your stuff, what we don't want to intimate is that we're looking at it from the same standpoint as some of those preachers that say, "Hey, give your stuff to us." That's not the point.
No.
Jesus wanted nothing to do with anybody's stuff.
How about in Acts 3, where the lame man was begging, and Peter and John came to him at the temple, and the man wanted money? What did Peter say? "Silver and gold I don't have, but I can heal you in the name of Jesus."
So there was something much greater than stuff.
Much.
And the gospel is much greater than all of those kinds of things. What we need to do, folks, is as we look at this subject and as we try to get a true and clear understanding of the foundation that Jesus is talking about, we've got to reflect back over all of the things that he said and say, okay, this is what it means to build my Christian house on a foundation where it won't be broken apart by the trials and the struggles and of life.
That's right.
So it's a hard task to accomplish.
It's not easy.
No. And it's not easy, not because it is something that people look at you and say, "What are you doing that for? How come you're not focusing more on this? How come you're not gaining in all of these other physical ways?
And why are you wasting your time?"
Really?
That's
and a lot of times people do have that attitude about it. It's like, "Well, man, that's like got to be a waste of time." No, it is the greatest investment of time I've ever made. Our investments ought to be, now look, do you need to take care of your retirement and all that? Sure you do. But your investments, your true heartfelt investments should be in heaven. That's where they should be. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 9.
"But godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment."
Oh, you know what? Read that one again.
"For godless For godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. For we have both brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge men into ruin and destruction.
Verse 9, but those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires. Now, is there something inherently wrong with riches?
No. No, but the love of money, there's a problem.
And when we are focusing on those things and saying, this is what I want out of my Christianity, I'm giving so I can get, like one of those pastors or some of those pastors were telling us.
Yes.
You know, the problem you ain't got yours is because you ain't giving the blessing nothing to work with. What he's saying is you're not giving enough so you can get more. If that's what we're in it for, then folks, the gospel means nothing to you. The real gospel of Jesus Christ means nothing, because here the Apostle Paul is telling us godliness actually is a means of great gain. You want great gain? You really want to have wealth untold? Be godly. It's a means of great gain, but it's not the kind of gain that so many people focus on.
Build your treasures in heaven.
Right. And just as we wrap up, Jonathan, read Matthew 7, 28 and 29, because this finishes up the story.
When Jesus had finished these words, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes.
So Jesus finishes the teaching about the foundation, and he gives us so much to work with. How do you know you're following after the true gospel of Christ? Look at Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and look at the kinds of things Jesus said you should be focusing on. It's not a gospel of getting, it's a gospel of giving. It's not a gospel of prosperity, it's a gospel of spirituality. It's not a gospel of self-esteem, it's a gospel of God-esteem. That's what this is all about. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. We will be back again next week with another topic. But until then, how strong and what is your foundation built on? Something that you really have to think about.